Welcome back to Hit Trap. We just had our week 7 recap figured out. Now it's time for the predictions of week 8.
Who you like this week, Mr. Frumpkin?
No one except the Bears.
Well, that's the wrong answer.
I suppose one might argue it's the wrong answer. I guess I like the Ravens as well. They're a cool team.
I'd argue that is also the wrong answer. Honestly, it feels like the first good week for survivor picking in a long time. Like, it feels like you actually have some options this time. Although, I kind of take that back. There was the one weekend where you had the Rams and the Bucks as clear choices.
But yeah, that was how that fared.
But again, didn't turn out well. And that was only really applicable to you if you hadn't picked either one of those yet, as I had. So,
Survivor, you will have picked good teams by the time their good matchups come up as well.
Indeed. But this week, I think you've got a nice smorgasbord of options.
Smorgasbord.
So, shall we dive in?
I suppose we shall. Thursday Night Football. Ravens at Buccaneers. Juicy.
Love this game between my birthright team and my corporate team. For those who do not know, I am an employee of Raymond James, the namesake of Raymond James Stadium, home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that the Ravens are going through a little bit less chaos than the Buccaneers right now. I think in particular their quarterback is going through a lot less chaos than the Buccaneers quarterback. I so appreciate this onomatopoeia which is emerging from you as I dissect this game. Yes, kind of like that.
I mean, what just, do you want me to say? You want me to say that the Bucs are clearly a superior roster and will destroy the Ravens on Thursday night? Is that what you want to hear me say?
Well, that's the problem, because like they're not, and so you'd be wrong.
Good thing I'm not actually saying that.
Look, I mean, the Bucs have real issues. You know, they can't run the football because they lost their Pro Bowl center, and their offensive line is still not the same. You know, Brady is clearly, despite his numbers being okay this year, in fact, they look a bit more than okay. Despite his numbers looking serviceable, he is clearly off. Particularly these last 2 weeks, there's been something off about his game. And, you know, I think the Ravens are feeling themselves a little bit. I think they're, you know, they've got some swagger back after having, you know, finally closed out a game during the fourth quarter in which they did not give up a lead, you know, to finish things out. Yes, very impressive for them. Impressive for them, for sure. They should be so proud of themselves.
Before this game, before that game, actually, not technically before because Monday night was after, but the Bears and Ravens share a team that we can hold on to fourth quarter leads against.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, and like Thursday night games are always weird because like it really, I feel like, comes down to which team did the better preparation in like the zero time that they had to prepare.
I'm going to be honest. I think the Ravens have a bit of a disadvantage in this one, because Pepe Williams and Kyle Hamilton are out going to haunted houses.
Yeah, that's not great. I'm not gonna lie, that's not a great development. You have literally from Friday until Halloween to do that, and I'm sure there's at least one haunted house that will still be standing on November 1st.
So, and there's also an entire weekend that they actually have for once.
Never mind the fact that you literally have a mini bye, exactly as our friend Mr. Frumpkin just stated. So, yeah. But anyway, now that I'm off my soapbox on that, I think the Ravens handle.
Strongly worded letter to Kyle Hamilton and Pepe Williams.
I think I will do that, just as I think that the Ravens will handle their business on Thursday night. I think they're going to be the better coach team. I think they'll be the better prepared team. And I also think they are the team that is going through less of an identity crisis at the moment. Although I will say this, though, I am not so sure if the Ravens have found their identity just yet. I don't believe they're in an identity crisis, but I don't believe they know exactly who they want to be just yet. And that could potentially bite them sooner or later, but I do not think it's going to be on this night.
Fair enough. I tend to agree. I just think it's strange that the Bucs could be losing this many games in a row. Well, actually, it's only two right now, so I guess it's fine the Ravens to win. I don't think that this is going to be the time that Brady gets right. Well, maybe not Brady in general, but the whole team for the Buccaneers. Nevertheless, let's move on. Broncos at Jaguars.
What a delicious, delicious game.
Are you going to buy the dip after this one, Rob?
Buy the dip.
Is Russ coming back? I guess I don't even know if that really matters.
Well, I mean, that's the whole question. If he comes back, he's obviously going to be awful. Because, and so you're going to be able to buy the dip next week, too. Yeah, this is this game has the feel of it was not enough for the schedule makers to subject the domestic national audience to the Denver Broncos in prime time for four out of the first 6 weeks. But they were just feeling so generous and so selfless when they were making the schedule that they decided that they needed to share the Broncos with our British cousins across the pond as well, so on a standalone stage
in London. But because this is a London game, it's also a home game for the Jaguars.
Exactly.
Okay, that's enough, sir. That is more than enough.
No, I think we need to keep doing this, actually.
Please, no. For my own sake, if no one else's, let's not. But, I just think even if this game was in Denver, I would still have the Jaguars winning. And this game is not in Denver. I think that Trevor Lawrence has done more of late for offense than the Broncos have. And they've come close to wins, but have been not getting there. And I think they finally get there.
Yes. If the Broncos and Nathaniel Hackett and Danger Russ cannot string together competent offensive football in their own time zone, where they have an advantage because they literally play up in the mountains where no one else does, what makes us think they're going to miraculously figure it out halfway across the world in a wildly different time zone against, as you put it, literally Britain's home team?
Yeah.
Jags could potentially roll them. I'm not kidding.
They could roll them.
And then you should buy the dip. Buy the dip. No. Buy the dip. Stop. Buy the dip. Stop.
Moving on. The two of the saddest franchises in NFL history are facing each other once again. Because they are two teams in the same division. Panthers and Falcons. Which sad team do you have winning this game, Rob?
I'm sorry. I need to gather myself.
So the viewers, before recording, we just had a conversation about which franchise we thought the saddest. And our two candidates we named were the Panthers and Falcons.
Yes.
We weren't even realizing that they were playing this week.
That's literally why I'm laughing, because
I know exactly why you're laughing.
We literally had this exact conversation in between, like during the intermission between pods, and they're actually playing each other.
The world works this way, doesn't it?
You can't make this stuff up, man.
I'll say that we both want the Falcons. Well, not want. We expect the Falcons to win. I don't give a rat's ass as to which of these teams win the game.
There are a few who do. Only half of our Survivor Discord somehow all those North Carolinians who got into Duke.
It's not all Dukies. Lots of friends of Anish and friends of those friends did not go to Duke. So they're all Carolinians.
Indeed.
Nevertheless, the Panthers just had a wildly emotional win against the Buccaneers, a division rival that is imploding. So yeah. I don't venture that they're going to do the same twice. The Falcons have been better coached than them, and it's a home game for the Falcons, who are having to bounce back from a loss because no one was going to beat the Bengals at that level this past week.
Yeah.
The Chiefs, maybe. Yeah. But the Falcons are due for positive regression, which is a weird thing to say about the Falcons in general.
It really is. I really don't like either of them to win. Honestly, it feels like whenever the Panthers and Falcons play, also, it feels like they always play like five times per year, which is bizarre. Like, I don't feel that way about any other division rivalry, but it feels like every other week I look up.
That's literally false. I'm going to have to stat correct.
It's something about those two. It feels like.
Sorry. You said this literally a week ago about the Colts.
It feels like, well, yes, they come in second place. Okay. They come in second place.
Backpedaling Queen Elizabeth right here, ladies and gents.
Hey, Queen Elizabeth would have caught that touchdown on the Rams secondary. You know she would have.
She would have, but that's neither here nor there. You are backpedaling, sir.
The late Queen Elizabeth, rest in peace, Your Majesty. Panthers Falcons. I'm sorry, but it just feels like every other week I look up, these two teams are playing each other. It's like the Falcons only play the Panthers for some reason. I don't know why. It just feels like it. Whenever I think about who the Falcons games that I've seen, it feels like half of them, they've been playing the Panthers. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I never have a clue with this matchup. I haven't for years. And I honestly don't think anyone does. I don't think Vegas does. I have to take the Falcons because they're simply playing. Well, I don't even know if they are. I just don't think the Panthers are going to repeat their performance against the Bucs on Sunday. I think they're due for a regression. I think they're coming off a very emotional high from beating Brady's Bucs in Charlotte. And I think they're going to come back down to earth this time. So
Vegas gives -250 to the Falcons. I think that's generous, but I do think the Falcons win.
Yeah. Moving on, because we spent an inordinate amount of time on that one. Bears at Cowboys.
I think.
Let's see who Alex has.
Well, thanks for putting me on the spot. You know, maybe I'm feeling myself. Maybe I'm in over my head after Chicago just had a statement win. But Da Bears are here to play. And the Cowboys are going to be their latest victim of greatness. The Cowboys just beat the Lions. Good for them. Know who else beat the Lions? The Patriots. Patriots beat the Lions 29-0. Therefore, when the Bears scored 33 on the Patriots, I think it's safe to say we are also going to beat the Lions' total points by 33. Therefore, Bears are scoring 39 against the Cowboys. Cowboys cannot score 40 on the Bears' defense. Case closed. Chicago wins.
What a beautiful, beautiful breakdown that was.
I seem to think that you disagree.
So, you know, I am following your train of thought. I think it's well-founded. I think it's very reasonable, very valid assessment that you've just laid out. But at the same time, I kind of feel like the Bears may or may not still be partying after that win, if you get my drift.
At least we're not going to haunted houses, Rob.
Well, you know what? You have that going for you. And for the record, I have just finished that letter to both Kyle Hamilton and Pepe Demarion Williams, and it will be arriving at the castle any moment now. A very, very strongly worded letter from, you know, obviously someone who whose opinion they really care about. But, you know, all of this to say, I think the Bears are feeling themselves a bit. I think, and for the record, that's completely normal. Just transformational, you know, unbelievable win over an unbelievably great, historically great head coach in his house in a fashion which we just don't see him lose in. I mean, you know, we don't see teams humiliate Belichick like that. We see Belichick still to this day. We see him humiliate teams, but we don't see anyone humiliate him like that. And so, like, I'm sorry, but, you know, if I'm thinking about this reasonably, I think the Bears, their focus takes a step back this week. Doesn't mean that they're still not a better team than the Cowboys. Doesn't mean that they still won't beat the Cowboys. But for right now, I am going to stick with them boys, even though I don't really want to, because I think they're just going to have the focus edge. And I honestly believe that your mindset, your mental approach to this game means so much more on a week-to-week basis than we give it credit for. So,
pretty sure you also don't want the boys to win this game because you hate charity.
What?
Because remember, if the Cowboys make the playoffs, you're giving money to charity.
Ah, yes, that. How could I forget?
How could you forget, Rob? Looks like you might be giving money to charity.
Looks like I might be. And you know what? That would not be a bad thing.
Giving money to charity is not a bad thing.
Yes, giving to money is not a bad thing at all, is it?
Okay, but fair enough. Moving on, though. Dolphins at Lions. Hard Knocks was onto something. They have to finally get a week right, these Lions, after that Hard Knocks bounce.
Yeah, they really do. And honestly, that's the camp that I'm in, and it appears to be the camp that you're in. And my justification, I'm not going to lie, it looks a lot like yours, which is they've lost a lot of tough ones. They've been humiliated. They've been narrowly edged. And I just think they're due for a win. I think the Dolphins are coming off of a big primetime win in which Tua returned. I don't doubt the team was very emotional in the locker room afterward. And, you know, they naturally deserved it and earned it. And, you know, I think that's a credit to them. It's a credit to their coaching staff. But the Lions are desperate, man. I mean, you know, you could argue the season's already over, but I mean, the season is really over if they lose if they lose this game. So, you know, I'd expect the Lions to empty the playbook in this game. I would expect them to bring out all the stops, you know, call all of their best plays from training camp, whatever they have to do in order to get a win here. And who knows? Maybe Dan Campbell could be coaching for his job. So,
who knows? I just think the Dolphins, the reason I went for the Lions really was that the Dolphins played pretty pitifully against the Steelers and should have been picked off a few times. It wasn't for DB's hands of steel. So I just don't think that, I mean, maybe it'll be better with Tua getting further into rhythm, but it was not a good outing for them against Pittsburgh. And
no,
I think that the Lions just have far more offensive prowess than the Steelers. Moving on, though. Cardinals at Vikings.
Interesting one. Got some Kyler Murray versus Kirk Cousins up in here.
So the real struggle for why I picked the Cardinals, but it's going to be tough, honestly, because Modern Warfare 2 officially comes out right before this game. And again, he's probably already been playing since you can get on the campaign as early as the 21st. So maybe that's my argument. He already has the COD jitters out of his system. Therefore, the Cardinals are going to handle the Vikings.
Yo, dude, you know what he was telling his defense going to that locker room at halftime, right? He was like, boys, just get me one more pick six coming out of the half so that I can sit out the fourth quarter and start to pre-download the game. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Do it for me. Do it for me, guys. Do it for your boy.
They did enough for him last week.
Yeah. They really, really did. Kyler did indeed get to begin pre-downloading the game on the bench. I just had to check exactly what time this game is being played, because I do believe that in this particular case, that actually means something. And sure enough, it is being played during the prime time Kirk Cousins window.
Of not prime time.
Yes. The non-prime time window in which Kirk Cousins is prime time, if you will.
Top 8 QB, everybody, right?
Indeed. And I do believe he is going to turn into the top 8 QB that he can be during the 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time hour. And so,
there's just a lot in favor of the Vikings here. Time, location, bye week. You know, I just don't think that the Vikings should be a team with only one loss. That's my main gripe with them. That this team has played worse than a team that only has one loss on its record. So I'm just going to keep betting against the Vikings until it happens, much in the same way that you were betting for the Broncos.
Well, you know, in many ways, they are very similar to last year's team, the only difference being that they're actually winning the close games this time. Now, you could argue that, you know, some of their close games have not been as close in that they've been leading, and then the other team has, like, started to close the gap during the final moments. So, you know, that's the one thing that we do that I don't always agree with. I'm not saying like you and I, just like, you know, like the NFL media more generally, like we look at the final score and we determine whether it was a close game based upon the margin of victory or defeat. And like, you really have to go a level deeper and see, like, you know, was, you know, did the team that lost, did they have the ball and they were driving? Or did the team that lost score in the final moments in order to make the score look like it was close, right? Those are two totally different things. And I do think the Vikings have been in some spots this year where they have mostly been controlling the end of games. So in that regard, I do think they're a bit better than last year's Vikings team. And on the flip side of that, I don't trust this year's Cardinals. I don't trust them. I do think the reinsertion of D-Hop makes them more formidable. I think, you know, they will start to resemble last year's team a little bit more, you know, because of that. But at the same time, I just have a hard time, man. I just have a hard time. There's something off about this franchise. Cliff and Kyler, it seems they're always yelling at each other, which is just so bizarre to me. You don't see other coaches and quarterbacks constantly yelling at each other, no matter what they say.
Let him download Modern Warfare 2. This wouldn't be a problem.
I mean, maybe that's what it's going to take, man. Maybe that's what it's going to take. Maybe they're going to have to let him bring his Xbox to the game so that he may play while he is not on the field. Maybe that's what it's going to be, man. Maybe that's what it's going to take to get him to stop literally cussing out his coach on national television. I mean, my goodness, this dude literally advocated for you. He literally was one of the people standing up and fighting for you to get your money. And yet you are yelling at him, cussing him out on national TV. And you didn't just do it once. You've done it several times. I don't trust them, man. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them, and I can't throw them very far.
Well, you're not a QB in the NFL, so maybe you'd be able to throw them further if you were someone else.
I'm not so sure if anyone could throw the Arizona Cardinals franchise very far. But, you know,
fair enough.
That's another topic for another day. Because in the meantime, we have to move on to the Raiders at the Saints.
I take Saints.
And I take Raiders.
Saints have been putting up some good offensive performances of late. I mean, they scored 34 against the Cardinals. They also, and 14 of the points that the Cardinals scored were because of pick sixes.
Yes. Imagine how many points the Saints would have scored had they not thrown not one, but two pick sixes.
Whereas the Raiders have a bad defense. Put two and two together, Saints win.
Another well-founded argument, but I happen to believe that the Raiders are starting to gel, that they're starting to find themselves. I think Josh McDaniels is finding a groove. I trust Josh McDaniels over Dennis Allen. Raiders cruise to a victory here. But I do believe that's going to be a very good game.
One game that perhaps should not be used for survivor purposes.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. One of the few this week, honestly, that you could not make a that you could not make at least a compelling case for. So the Patriots at the Jets. We both took the Patriots, understandably so. One thing I know, Bill is pissed. Bill is pissed out of his mind. Mac Jones is pissed. Perhaps not out of his mind, but he's pissed. The fans have bailed on him, and he was effectively pulled for one mistake, which I still don't quite understand. Bailey Zappi is probably pissed. He threw two interceptions. Mac only threw one. And there's a lot of heat on the Patriots right now, man. There's a lot of heat on them right now. Robert Kraft is not happy with this, and I expect them to come out swinging. Not only that, but Belichick, he owns the Jets, man. I mean, he owns the Jets. If anything, this is the week to pick the Patriots in Survivor, because he has dominated this matchup historically. If you lose, if you pick the Patriots to beat the Jets and the Jets beat the Patriots, I'm sorry, but you did not make a bad Survivor pick. You just simply went with a trend which historically has dated back several decades, and you somehow inexplicably were on the wrong side of it one time. Now, of course, this year's Jets team is markedly improved, but I still trust Belichick. I mean, I fully expect him to be in the lab every minute of every day this week, trying to get back on track. The Patriots still have a season to save. And so I don't think this one's particularly hard to pick.
I mean, the Patriots have won 12 straight games. I just checked. They've won 12 against the Jets. But this is a better Jets team. I just think that the Jets are going to slow down a bit, because I don't think this is sustainable. No. Moreover, they just lost Breece Hall, and they're going to have to figure out their run game differently. They're going to see what James Robinson's like in that offense. So that'll be interesting. And then at the same time, they've been leaning a lot on the run this year so far in their victories. Zach Wilson has not been passing very much, but they're going to have to do it a lot more, I think, against this Patriots team. I think it's fortuitous timing with that injury for the sake of Belichick. But, I just have to think that the Patriots have at least one more win in that streak for them.
Yeah.
Moving on, though. Steelers at Eagles. I'm not even going to pretend the Steelers have a chance here.
Yeah, this is not going to be a game, folks. This is going to be over very quickly. And for all of you who are going to have it stuck on your TV sets, hopefully it is only going to be those of you who live in Pennsylvania and who will actually be willing to stomach it being on your TV set, because this one's not going to be close. It's not going to be competitive. Don't listen to what anyone says. And moving on.
That's really it. Titans at Texans.
Titans at Texans. So interestingly, we both took the bait here. We both picked the Titans because we are conditioned to think, oh, Titans, good franchise. Texans, bad franchise.
Well, I don't think they're a good franchise. I just think they're less bad than the Texans, for the record.
Fine. Texans, bad franchise. Titans, not bad franchise. But at the same time, like, if we were to go back and look at the score of these two historically, the Texans play them well. The Texans play them very well. And so I would not be surprised if Davis Mills and company were to emerge victorious in this one. It would obviously prove our pick incorrect, but I would not be surprised at all. So,
interestingly, also, Tannehill is still recovering from an ankle injury. So if he's out and they have to throw Malik Willis in, things can get ugly pretty fast for the Titans.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But should be a good one. It's always a compelling one when these two teams play.
Gotta love the divisional games. Gotta love the divisional games.
Especially the AFC South games. I feel like there's other than the Jags consistently beating the Colts in Jacksonville, there's not much of a pattern to the AFC South. Like, it really does feel like in all of the other matchup combinations, either team can win. Which makes it a good one, makes it very interesting. Commanders at Colts.
Another AFC South team. The Carsonless Wentz Bowl, if you will.
Yes. The Carsonless Wentz Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. That is what we have declared this game. The last two teams to employ Carson Wentz as their quarterback, neither of which will actually feature Carson Wentz on Sunday. The Colts are in trouble, man. There's something wrong with the Colts. Play calling is too vanilla. Coaching is suspect. Sam Ellinger is not the answer, despite what, you know, national pundits who are bored.
Is Matt Ryan the answer? Anything but Matt Ryan might be the answer right now.
No. Unfortunately, no. It is true Matt Ryan is not the answer, but that does not mean in any sense of the word that Sam Ellinger is the answer.
See,
this is bad for the Colts, man. I think the Colts are on pace to just have a dreadful, dreadful second half of their season. I don't think it turns.
Half of their season wasn't dreadful.
What?
As if the first half of their season was not dreadful.
Oh, and for the record, I never said it wasn't. I think they're on a collision course. They're on a collision course to something awful.
Well, as fair as that is, I am not going to bet that the Commanders are going to win three games of football in a row. That's just me.
So that is just you. That is just you, and I'm inclined to agree. But at the same time, they have had a really nice three-game draw. They've had a really nice draw.
Are you saying that the Bears were a good draw?
Hey, man. Inexplicably, they found a way to beat the Bears that night. I still don't know how they did it. But, I mean, back then they were still the Bears. Okay, now they're Da Bears. Back then, they were just the Bears.
Yeah, that's fair. We didn't know what a red zone was 2 weeks ago. But now we do. Last week. As fortunately, we saw, the Bears have figured out the red zone.
Fortunately, you have since figured out what a red zone is, and specifically what a red zone touchdown is. And now that you are Da Bears, I believe that game would go differently were you to see them again. But bottom line here, Taylor Heinicke is a baller. I still contend he's better than people say he is. And
is he better than Wentz? Should he be starting for this team?
I mean, right now, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, you know, Carson Wentz is just he's too loosey goosey, man. He is too loosey goosey when it matters most, and you can't be loosey goosey when it matters most. You just can't. I mean, you know, just ask Matt Stafford. What enabled the Rams last year to go on their Super Bowl run was that Matt Stafford almost exclusively made his mistakes during the first half of games. He had, I believe it was the best fourth quarter and second half passer rating of any quarterback in football last year. That's why they went to the Super Bowl, because for all of the dire straits he put them in, he consistently bailed them out of them. Carson Wentz is the opposite. Carson Wentz is the opposite. He makes all of his mistakes in the second half when it is at their most backbreaking. That is when he makes all of his mistakes. And, you know, in that regard, I kind of like the Commanders more with Heinicke, which feels really weird to say. But, you know, and again, I do think they're going to get the win here because I think the Colts are in complete disarray. And while we may not love the Washington Commanders franchise overall, I do think that their team itself, at least for the time being, is in less chaos than the Colts.
Interesting. Well, moving on to Mr. Outhouse himself, Matt Stafford, facing the 49ers yet again. They lost the last one this year, but they had a bye week. I think that bye week will be enough for them to be ready to win a game and get closer to clawing up to taking the first seed in the NFC West from the Seahawks.
Yes. Just to, for all of our folks who are listening today who may be sitting in the back of the room, the Seattle Seahawks are first place in the NFC West. There you go. I'm done.
Yeah. Well, as both of these teams here are fighting for second, I think that the Rams are going to be the ones that get it this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Normally, I'd agree with your justification. There's just something very, very bizarre about this rivalry. I don't know what it is. It must just be the way the Niners' defensive front matches up against the Rams' O-line. But it's just an awful, awful matchup for L.A. I think the Niners have literally won the last 7 or 8 consecutive regular season matchups. It's funny. The Rams, the only time the Rams have won has been in a playoff game in a year in which they won the Super Bowl and not the Niners. So, like, in a weird kind of funny way, you know, like if you could be either the Rams or the Niners and, you know, be in a position where you've won all 8 of the last regular season matchups, or you've lost all 8 of those matchups, but you won the one that mattered to win a Super Bowl, I kind of would choose to be in the Rams spot. As weird as that is, the one time it really mattered, the Rams found a way to win. And even that was mostly because of a ill-timed, back-breaking Jimmy Garoppolo interception. Long story short, the Niners own this rivalry. I just cannot in good faith pick against them. I just can't.
Fair enough. And now that they have CMC, the Rams certainly couldn't have prepared very long for that.
Yeah.
Giants at Seahawks. We both take the Seahawks. I don't want to get too much into it because time purposes. And because I kind of like the Giants, but I think they're playing better than their record suggests, similar to the Vikings. Mm-hmm. They've had when you were talking about the media having their bias against like seeing whether the games are close, these games have very legitimately been very close games for the Giants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seahawks might be the best offense that they've faced all year. And pair that with one of the most menacing home field advantages in football. I give it to the Birds.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, this one was not a particularly hard call for me for all the reasons that you just outlined. This is probably one of the better offenses, if not the best offense they're going to face all year. I still can't believe we're saying that. But, you know, hard to argue with point totals such as 48, 39, and 32, you know. So there's that. Can Daniel Jones compete in a shootout? I don't know if he can. Or maybe he can. Who knows? But also, the Giants are due for a loss here. They're winning these games and they're earning them, but they're winning them in such exciting last minute fashion, and it's just not sustainable. I couldn't agree with you anymore. Seahawks over the Giants in this one.
Packers at Bills. It brings me tremendous joy to say that Aaron Rodgers is a double-digit underdog. Double-digit underdog, everyone. Double-digit underdog. Man. The Bills, if they lose this game, I don't know what to say about them.
Yeah.
They just had a bye.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it past them. They've laid some eggs before. I mean, there was the Jags game last year before the Jags were the Jags.
Sure.
But again, that can affect any team, you know. On any given Sunday, a team can just
Josh Allen. It was the first time Josh Allen had ever faced Josh Allen in his career. He simply did not know what to do about it.
No, he did not. And he did not to the tune of an interception, a strip sack, and a fumble.
Very impressive performance by Josh Allen, and yes. Very unimpressive performance by Josh Allen.
Yes, indeed. This just has Bills written all over it. I mean, I think the most likely scenario is that the Bills roll the Packers. Like, I think that is actually not just a possibility. I think it is the most likely possibility. You know, next to the possibilities of the Bills edge the Packers or the Packers somehow win this game, I think the Bills rolling the Packers is actually the outcome which most models are expecting to materialize.
Do you think it's more likely that the Bills edge the Packers or that the Packers somehow win?
You know, on that one, I would probably say that the Packers somehow win, simply because the Bills historically have not been good in close games, although they've had a recent run of success with them lately, which actually makes me think that they're due for a pullback in that area, you know, pretty soon here. Again, that's not even going to come into play, though. The Bills are going to be up by so much, and they're just going to be able to cruise. Josh Allen might even sit out the fourth quarter. I'm not joking.
And then Mitchell Trubisky will have his greatest game ever facing the Packers.
He really will, man. He really, really will.
Sorry. He's a Steeler now.
Ah, man, I got suckered into it too. I wanted to believe so hard that he was still a Buffalo Bill.
But yeah.
And last but not least, the Cincinnati Bengals at the Cleveland Browns. So I chose the Browns here because, as a resident AFC,
you're a rebel.
As a resident AFC North fan and a rebel, I came to the rebellious conclusion that historically the Browns have played the Bengals very well in this matchup. I think their roster is I think it's very compatible with the Bengals. Whereas I don't believe the Bengals roster is very compatible with Cleveland's. I don't expect it to be high scoring, but I do expect the Browns to come out on top. And I know that's not going to be a popular opinion, but that is the camp that I'm in at the moment. So,
despite being a history major, I'm not too keen on history of matchups typically with football. I just think that the Bengals firing at all cylinders, the Browns are very much not. And while this may be a divisional game, so Browns will bring their A game, I just don't think that's enough against the Bengals. Particularly on the defensive side of the ball, they have let teams go willy-nilly on them. Like, the Falcons look like a good offensive team against them. So, these are the Bengals we're talking about. And, I'm done. Bengals win.
All right. Well, this has been our Week 8 picks, and now it is time for us to reveal which team we are voting off the island, Mr. Frumpkin, from this year's NFL playoffs in Week 8. Who you got this time?
I believe we are unanimous this week.
I believe we are once again unanimous for like the third time this season.
And, well, not last week, but the week before we were dually synchronous. But this time around, we are voting off the team that actually has Mitchell Trubisky on its roster.
Indeed. Lost year for the Steelers, ladies and gentlemen. And that's largely, honestly, by virtue of the division that they play in. Ravens and Bengals are... Bengals are certainly humming. I would argue the Ravens have been humming all year long. They've just found bizarrely creative ways to somehow jeopardize their greatness during games. Cleveland is still very well coached, and they are naturally getting Deshaun Watson back later on this season. And the Steelers are lost. And I'm sorry, but you can't be fourth place in your division and have a shot at making the playoffs. You just can't. Certainly not in the AFC, you can't. So it's a pretty easy call for me.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. The Browns are going to be rested as well. I'm tired. Totally forgot that they played the Ravens this week. Look at me.
For what it's worth, for what it's worth, I just kind of blindly went along with it. Just as I blindly went along with your assertion that Mitchell Trubisky was still a Buffalo Bill.
You know, I just have such charisma. You have to go along with
you. You really do, man. You should really leverage that in your conversations.
I shall. Nevertheless, I just think that the Steelers, as bad as they are still worse than the Browns. And the Browns have a higher probability of improving over the year than the Steelers.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool indeed. All right. Pretty tired, but this was a good one. I think that's about it for Hitch Route. Any closing thoughts outside of, you know, the Bears being the greatest franchise in NFL history?
My only closing thoughts to you all would just be that this is perhaps like there have been other exciting years in the NFL. I mean, like, you could argue that every year is exciting, but like, it did feel like last year had a lot of really good storylines. This year, I feel like, has just completely blown last year out of the water. I mean, just the teams, the sheer number of teams that have just completely turned around the perception of them, from the Giants to the Jets to the Bears to the Seahawks this year. I mean, it's really, and on the flip side, the sheer number of teams for whom we have had a default positive perception on them, the Buccaneers, the Packers, the Steelers, and to some extent the Patriots, all kind of getting tossed to the wayside, or at least looking far more pedestrian and beatable than we're used to seeing them. It's really quite a remarkable thing that we're witnessing, and it's why I think the NFL is truly like no other sport.
Well said. Well, this has been Hitch Route. Peace out, everyone.
All right. See y'all. Enjoy the games.